We bless you, Father, for this time of harvest, whereby you inhabit the praises of the saints. We want to this day to extol your name, to lift it up, to bless the mighty name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And touch us all today, Father, as your word is preached. We pray that your anointing rest upon each word, each syllable, each vial, every word, that it may be spoken by the unction of your Spirit. It may bring clarity to the hearts of man and open up our understanding, Father. For we need that in this hour. Touch every heart today. Bless your house that's gathered here in Messiah's name. And the assembly worldwide, whoever they are, the faithful, the few, the called, and the elect of Yahweh. We pray for them, Father. We pray that you bless them in a mighty way. Give them great strength in Shabbat. And keep your name ever present before them, in their minds and thoughts, that they may worship you as we press to enter into that realm of pure worship, to lay aside every constraint and restraint of the flesh. We may bless you in all things. We ask all things in your sure mighty name. We believe it's done by faith, and we bless you for that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, we bless you. You may be seated. What a wonderful thing it is in this hour to know the Father. We know that through the hope of Yahshua, there's free pardon from our sins. We have been cleansed, washed, and separated for His purpose. That is what it's all about, that we may serve the Father with a sincere heart. And our desire above all things ought to be to please Him. We ought not to be enraptured or caught up in the spirit of this age and this hour, because there will be great perplexities and troubles that shall try this generation. We must understand that troubles come because of the sin, the transgression of man. We began to have trouble. There is a perplexed mind, whereby there is no spiritual revelation, whereby we trust the Father. We lose all sight of hope, whereby we cannot hope. There is no faith to believe Him. And the mind becomes so perplexed and oppress that even the word of Yahweh doesn't settle it or gives comfort to the mind. We're in a time whereby Yahweh shall pour out trouble upon the land. There's a reason why He is going to do that. He wants us to remember thy Creator in the days of your youth, in the midst of your energy and strength, a professance in life. He wants us to remember Him. And to remember one is that one, the person or the thing, is constantly brought forth in your mind. Your heart is upon it. When you think you can't think about nothing but that thing or that one, it becomes the object of your whole heart, your desire, your will, and your purpose to live. And so Yahweh is saying in this hour, because of the transgressions of man, their sins, and their corruption, there shall be a trouble that shall overtake the nations, and the trouble that I will send, it will not be like any other trouble that has ever faced man. Man has faced some insurmountable obstacles. Wars of great magnitude, famine, death. But there will be nothing like this trouble that shall come, because it will perplex the very soul of man. There will be no breath in him to cry out unto the Father, to pray, to seek Almighty Yahweh. There will be no life churning in his soul with deep aspiration To know who is in control and charge of these great dilemmas that are taking place upon the face of the earth. And the reason why, because his soul will be so perplexed that he cannot even see Yahweh. It will bring forth a tremendous spiritual pain of great distress, whereby his heart shall fail, and there shall be no love to love Yahweh or any man. And the pain shall be so intense that his mind cannot even be settled, nor can he even think of the Creator. And the things that shall press against him, they shall wear him, tear him apart, and separate him from any kind of spiritual law there is. And he will lose all understanding and hope in truth, whereby there will be no trust for his neighbor, for Yahweh, and no man at all. There will be no trust for him at all. And so what Yahweh does, he gives us a small microcosm of that in our lives. When there is some kind of perplexity or trouble, we do not tend to fall prostrate before him and cry out. We tend to reason things. And in the midst of that great perplexity and distress, our minds are not as sharp. It doesn't stay stable. It's back and forward. It's always searching and roaming. Now that is what is going to take place at the great day of trouble of Yahweh. The minds will not be able to reason or understand why is this coming upon us. What is the reason for these great pains of travail? As with the woman that is bringing forth a child, that is how the pain shall be, that the mind shall be numb, and there will be no spiritual law to govern at all. And the reason why? Because of the transgressions, the sins, and the iniquity of a generation that has totally rejected the laws of Yahweh. We're not going to make his laws obsolete and think that we are going to inherit the spiritual power that it takes to battle against the powers of darkness, to overcome them, that we may be established in the kingdom. It's not going to work that way. And so what Yahweh does, he gives us warnings. He sends forth words of warnings, words of preparation, words to expose every hidden agenda in the heart of man. And when Yahweh exposes the hidden agenda, what we do, we begin to repent and acknowledge the sin and the corruption that we have allowed to fester in the inward parts of our souls, whereby it has diminished the power of life in us, that we don't breathe him, we don't live for him, and we don't seek him. And this generation, whether we will be honest with ourselves and actually look at things the way they truly are, it is not a generation that is inspired by truth. It doesn't cause the heart to really pant and desire it. It is a very cumbersome thing today to bear the truth of Yahweh. It doesn't bring about the delight and the rejoicing in the soul of man. Now, we are not in any great troubles, but yet we're in trouble. And so when the great troubles of Yahweh are poured out upon the earth, in this hour, whereby there is fullness, we have much to eat, we can rest in some state of peace, in some comforts, yet our natural biological needs are taken care of. We have clothing, we have shoes, we have homes, beds to sleep in. And if the small perplexities of this hour causes us not to turn unto the Father, then what do you think will transpire when there's a great trial or tribulation, whereby the very intent and the heart of man shall be tried? He's going to try the inward parts of a man's heart, whether by there is life of Messiah in that man's soul or not, that shall be tried. And when a man truly possesses the life of Messiah, In the midst of death, there is a hope of the resurrection. And so the great trouble is upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh is trying to warn his house that we may do the things to prepare for it, that our minds spiritually may be ready to do what it takes to cry out, to plead the blood of Messiah, for this great hour is revealed and unveiled in a way that the heart of man and the spiritual unction shall fail him. He shall not know how to call upon man on Yahweh. He will not know how to cry out. Because as the plagues are poured out upon the earth, the scripture says, man will not repent of his adulterous ways, his sins, his corruption, his wickedness, and they will still blaspheme the name of Yahweh. They will still curse him. And they will still be very indignant against him. And what he does to his house is that he began to reprove us in a way that we may see the hidden agenda of our hearts. What our desire is not to please him above all things. There is a carnal, secular agenda, and it is enemy against Yahweh. And you will have disdain for the revealed truth that he will desire to reveal unto you. It will cause you to despise him even the more. What we must begin to do is prepare. Well, how do we prepare? Like scripture says, there's only one way to prepare. And we must go to the book and find out what the Father says and what his people did in the day and the hour of trouble, that we may overcome the situation that shall try the whole earth. There shall never be a time like this that shall face the entire earth and the population of the world. David cried in Psalms 37 and verse 38, 39. I want to read these two verses and verse 40, that I may establish a parameter and a cornerstone, that we must realize what it's going to take to escape the very perplexities and the distress of oppression that shall befall man in that hour. And it is coming as surely as we are alive today, it is coming. For man cannot mock Yahweh. And whatever a nation and a people sow, that nation and the people shall reap it. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is a nation that sows corruption. That is why the minds of the people of Yahweh are so corrupt today. It is one thing when you find something that is corrupt, the rust began to overtake it. You must get down and grind that piece of metal down to the core of the rust. You have to cut it out. You have to totally eradicate that piece of metal of any sign of rust. And once you do that, you must put on preservatives, things that will keep it from rusting. You need to apply the oil of anointing. And that is what keeps it from rusting, is the oil. And we need the oil of Yahweh's anointing down in our souls, that we will not become part of this corrupt nation and the corrupt spirit of the world today. David cried, he says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. You see, everyone that transgresses against the laws of Yahweh, together, he said, he's going to bring them together to destroy them. That is why we must mark a perfect man. When a man walks in the perfect laws of Yahweh, and the righteous laws of liberty, we ought to mark that man. We ought to see the character of that man. And we ought to say, that is apote for me to walk in that same fashion. So we must identify the men that are before us that are walking in the law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. What is that law? Well, it makes us free from the law of sin and death. It makes us free from serving sin and walking after a carnal, earthly, sensual fashion. When you mark that man, you will know in that man there is a peace that embodies that man. And in this hour, we're going to have the perfect mind, the perfect heart, and the perfect spirit to have peace in the midst of trouble. That's the only way you're going to have it. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. He's going to bring them all together and destroy them. He said the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Now that is the confirmation of Yahweh. What is a wicked man? When we understand the principles of Yahweh's laws, we know that his statutes are sure and his judgment is righteous. And we began to resent those things and turn our hearts away from the righteous commandments of Yahweh, that we allow a corrupt, wicked spirit to enter into our hearts. There's one that says to Yahweh, that is not important. That is not necessary for me. I will not obey, nor will I walk in that counsel. Now that is what the wicked does. It is a heart that has known the principles, the laws of Yahweh, and the mind has been given over unto sensual things, natural and carnal things. You understand the principles of his laws and you say in your natural mind, I don't think it takes all that. I don't believe I have to do that. And yet the simplicity of his truth is so revealed to us, and we began to make excuses for our flesh to oppose the laws that are spiritual. You know above all persons that you are carnal, sold unto death. We are carnal people, sold unto death. We've already been sold to death. It is just by the mercies and the love kindness of Yahweh, through that eternal hope of Messiah, that we have an entrance into the kingdom, and we must believe on the mighty works that were done in the body of Yahshua. Without believing that, then there is no life for us at all. We're just like the transgressors. We transgress. We have disdain for the laws of Yahweh. And we do without thinking that there is any kind of impurity for doing that. It is not going to work that way. We must obey him. He said, and the wicked shall be cut off. There shall be no life. There shall be no heritage or lineage for the wicked. Their lives shall not be sustained. They shall literally be cut off from the face of the earth. But he gives us great strength of hope here. He said, but the salvation, that is the Yoshua, the righteousness or the deliverance of the righteous, it is only of Yahweh. The salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. Now, he has given us a righteous law and righteous principles, statutes to guide us, ordinance to keep us in the context of the statutes, and judgment to keep us so that when we transgress against the laws, the statutes of Yahweh, it will bring us back before him. Every law has a perfect value. I don't care if it's a natural law. It has a good value. And the laws of Yahweh, they have perfect value. They're extremely rich. Because they yield one thing, and that's life. It yields life. When a man transgresses against that, it brings forth death. For the laws of Yahweh are a powerful tool and a powerful sword for the hope of the people of Yahweh. And that is why Shaitan has done all he could to keep us from those principles, because Yahweh spoke them. And every word that he speaks is full of life. It's full of life, and there is light in the words that he speaks unto us. There is no darkness in what he commands us to do, that he may be honored, and that he may be exalted above every high thing. Even your imaginations, your thoughts, your flesh, your will, he must be exalted above all those things. Yahweh must. David declared, our hope and the salvation of the righteous, it is of Yahweh. And what a profound statement that he is now. Do you understand that Yahweh is your strength in the time of
trouble. That is our only strength in time of trouble. What? My brothers and sisters, we cannot disallow the laws of Yahweh because trouble and perplexity is upon the earth. He is our assurance in the time of trouble. Why? Because He is our hope of salvation. And in this generation, He has given us the assurance of that in your sure Messiah. For His word was fulfilled in that body of clay. He fulfilled His word. He gave us the spiritual power by the option of His Spirit to live according to His word. He's given us the Spirit. The words that He speaks, their spirit and their life, their spiritual words. You cannot understand them in the natural mind. The natural mind never understands the laws of Yahweh. It has no ability to understand, has no ability to reveal what the laws of Yahweh implies. It has to be done by the Spirit. Because no man has counseled the Father. And so He must counsel us. We can't counsel Him to tell Him what we think the laws ought to imply. He must tell us what the laws imply. And so in the time of trouble, our only strength is Yahweh. What? In the assurance of His laws? In the assurance of His statutes, His judgment? Why is His judgment coming? He said that the transgressors shall be destroyed altogether. Well, His laws show you whether you are a transgressor or a wicked one. Because His laws judge us constantly. Judge our intents, our hearts, our purpose, our desires. And if we have walked in obedience according by the leading of the Spirit, then our strength in that day of great perplexity is because we are assured of the hope of the law of Yahweh. Messiah did not come to destroy the law of the prophets. He fulfilled them. And even in fulfilling that, He had a hope of a resurrection. And on the third day, He got up out of the grave. He never saw corruption at all. His body was never corrupt. His blood could never go down into the earth and be corrupt. That is why the last vestige of blood in that body had to be shed on that stake or on that tree at Calvary. And it was all poured out. And when every drop of blood was poured out, He said, it is finished. This portion is finished. Now let this all culminate in the 3 days and the three nights, and I shall rise from the grave. Well, how did He do that? Well, it was the breath of the law of Yahweh, because He said 3 nights and 3 days shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. And that righteous law of Yahweh brought Him forth even in the midst of that troublesome situation. In the midst of the grave. Can you imagine if you were put in a coffin alive today and dug 6 feet down and put you in there? Can you imagine even the trauma that you would experience from that? Can you imagine even the terror that would overtake you even in the midst of that? It would be a terrifying situation, wouldn't it? So our strength is in the law and the hope of Yahweh. And in that body of Yahshua, you can't separate the Tanakh from the new covenant. And in that body of Messiah was the hope and the promise of the law fulfilled. That in the time of trouble, that Yahweh is our strength. And He is our strength. And Messiah came to assure us that He is our strength. In this body of clay is the perfect upright man. So you mark him. And you will know that the end of that man is peace. There shall be peace. In the midst of the grave, peace. Even down in the belly of the earth. In the midst of great darkness, there's peace. And I had peace, is what Messiah said. And what He gave unto us is the assurance of that hope. And that we can be assured in this hour, for the great devastation of trouble shall perplex the nations. They will not know which way to turn. There will be no strength. The heart of man shall fail them because of fear. And the things that they perceive or they can see that are taking place in the earth. The things that are taking place in the earth, they are simply precursors of what things in the spiritual realm that has begun to evolve. They're coming to pass. And we're going to see the escalation of those things whereby the modern man will totally be taken from him. That is why you, my friends, we need the mind of Messiah. Let this mind that Messiah had be in us also. Because the Gethsemane experience showed us a great troubling trial. And yet it was culminated in not what I desire, Father. I know that you are able to do all things. Not what I desire, not my will be done, but thine will be done. So it has to be that, saints, that the will of the Father must be done. And if his will is not done, then we are walking in transgression. We are transgressors. And we are walking wickedly. And if we are walking wickedly, then our end shall be. And it's sooner than you actually think or believe. Because the wicked does not discern time and judgment. Only the righteous and a wise man discern both time and judgment. The wicked man cannot discern that. And because of our own wickedness, we cannot discern the importance of time. The importance of the hour. If you know that a storm is coming, would you not prepare? Even the world is wise enough to do that. When there is a snowstorm coming, they will go out and buy the essentials. Bread, milk, few canned goods, some extra batteries, and they will prepare. Well, don't you think you ought to do the same? Don't you think you ought to desire the sincere milk of the truth of Messiah that you may grow thereby? Don't you think you ought to get that light burning down in your soul, the lamp of his righteousness burning in your soul? Don't you think you ought to do that? Don't you think you ought to get more of this bread of life, Messiah? The world shows us that in natural applications, what they do when a great storm is coming. And yet we see this great storm on the horizon, and we are still eating junk, trash, gossiping, lies, folly, jocularity, senseless, foolish things. That's what entertain us today. Trivial. Play for things and not prepare for the great storm. We must begin to prepare for the great storm. And that is getting our spirits in line with Yahweh. Well, how do we do that? We go to the rule and the book of judgment. We must go to Scripture and see what Scripture says. David declares in verse 40 of the same chapter, "Now why and how shall we be delivered from this great time? When a man's mind is perplexed, he doesn't trust anyone. You try to bring comfort, they will hear you, but they don't hear you. They will look at you with strange eyes, yet there's no perception in their heart. You can see it. You can see the voidness in their eyes. You can see how far they are from you. Yet we know that Yahweh is the strength of his house, those that have salvation in time of trouble." Verse 40, "And Yahweh shall help them." And if Yahweh doesn't help us, there is no help. "And Yahweh shall help them," and what? "Deliver them." He shall deliver them from that oppressive power. "And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them," only one reason, "because they trust in him." Now that is the only way we're going to be delivered. That is the only way you're going to be saved. You must trust in the hope that he has given unto us through Yahshua. You don't trust that hope, you are not going to be delivered. You don't trust what the Father's done, has given us laws that will bring about his righteous authority or his scepter in our souls, then you don't trust him. And he's going to bring forth those that truly trust him. Well, how do I know I trust him? Well, you will do what he says. If you love me, then do what I tell you. Obey my laws, my commandments. You trust that. Because you know in obeying, there is the fullness of his life and the hope of the promise in obeying. And only those that trust Yahweh in the midst of this trial will be delivered. The world is going to cry. They're going to mourn like never before. Their hearts are going to well. There shall be no tears in their eyes. And yet there shall be no deliverance at all. They have trusted in the arm of flesh, the strength of man. They're trusted in carnal things and the things that pertain to this life. They have not trusted in the jewels of Yahweh, the laws, the ordinance, the judgments, the statutes. Messiah did not come to establish some kind of statute that was not based in the principles of what Yahweh commanded him. He fulfilled every word of the Father. He came to do just what the Father said. And we must do the very same thing. Now, when we don't do that, we are transgressors. We transgress against Yahweh. You literally walk against what He tells you to do. You turn against it, and you do what you think is right. And all of our ways seems right. There's a way that seemed right unto man because he think it's right. But we know that that way brings death and destruction. We destroy the mind to seek the Father, to please Him, to desire Him. The trouble is coming. The nations are troubled today. The economies are falling throughout the world. Those things that they have confidence in, they are failing. Do you not hear the statement all the time that the thing that run this nation and what this nation is based upon, do you understand what it's based upon or the strength of this nation? Is it their gods? Their whorehouses? They will tell you, and the economists will tell you, that the strength of this nation is the oil and the gas. Everything in this nation runs off gas or oil. The whole nation is built upon that. It's built upon oil. Well, the nation of Yahweh is built upon oil as well. The oil of anointing. The oil of gladness. The oil of refreshness. This nation is built upon the same thing. What Satan has done, he has used a natural thing to show the very express power of Yahweh's kingdom. It's based upon the anointing. It is the anointing that keeps us bound. It is the anointing that keeps us bound. It is the anointing that breaks every yoke, saints. It is the anointing of Yahweh's oil that breaks every yoke. That's why we ought to let the righteous man smite us. It shall be an excellent oil. It should be an excellent oil. It won't break your head. And so this nation is based, its value, its economy, its power, and everything is based upon the productivity of oil. The corporations cannot run without oil. The economy cannot click without oil. It cannot make it without oil. And we have seen examples of that through Scripture. Even the widow of Zarephath, the oil and the bread is what sustain us. And that is what's going to sustain the people of Yahweh. It was a great trouble. Death in the land. And she knew that she was going to die. When Eliyahu said, you do first for Yahweh. He was the metaphor or the epitome of the power of Yahweh in the midst of Zarephath. He said, you bring Yahweh the offering first. Present that to Him. And your meal barrel and your oil crew shall never grow dry. And yet she had, in the midst of trouble, that she had clarity of mind, she was abstained. For He was her salvation in the midst of trouble. And that is our only strength of hope and salvation in the time of trouble, that we trust that what was done to deliver us from every bondage and power of sin. And Messiah finished the works, and they are finished. What we must do is believe the works and trust in the works that were done for the deliverance of the house of Israel. We don't trust in that. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. We must trust in what Yahweh is doing. And He is going to purge this earth, saints. He is going to cleanse it. It talks about the great day of Yahweh is what? Near. It is close at hand. It is right at the door. It is near us.
a prophecy that was prophesied some 750 years probably before Messiah. You tell me, he said that the day of Yahweh's great trouble is near. It is close. Because the measure of Yahweh's time is not like the measure of carnal time. Do you know why? Because carnal time is always making a provision for one thing, and that is the carnal desire. It will find a way to corrupt itself even the more. So what a profound prophecy. As he spoke by the utterance of the Spirit, he said that the day or the great trouble or the time of great perplexity and trial, the day of Yahweh is near. He tells us that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And yet the day is near. And what we do in our own mindset, we want to fix things that it will appease us or give us some kind of room to fulfill our own lusts and our sins. And yet the law of Yahweh brings us to the point whereby these truths become reality unto us. If you cannot stop that, thou shalt not covet, do not covet, then you're not going to believe the pure things of Yahweh. You think he lied when he told you that? Well, if that was a lie, then it's all right to do that one. That's all right. It's all right to do that. It's not all right to do any of them. When you break any of them, you transgress against the Father. This is his covenant. And he doesn't write anything with his fingers to disband that. What he writes, once it is written, is settled. That's why Messiah said to Shaitan, I will tell you one thing, it is written. And once it is written, there's nothing that can change it. Well, what he said to Jordan, we went to Nineveh, he prophesied. It wasn't written, but now it's written. And Nineveh was destroyed. And so this law of righteousness is written. Where? Is that thing that you have in your hand? It ought to be written in our hearts, in our inward parts. That's why the nation can't do right. That's why we transgress. Is it truly written there? When you hear the living hope of these principles that he has put in us, do they cause us to come alive with great joy, great gladness? It ought to. Zephaniah prophesied that the great day of Yahweh is near. And he said, it is near. What a confirmation. He said, I want you to know it's near. And then he said, do you hear me, Yisrael? It's near. He said, do you hear me, people? It's near. He said, I don't believe you hear me. Do you hear what I say? It's near. Not far. Not in the distance. He says it's near. And then he gives us a great experience of how near it is. And he said, hasten greatly. It's moving rapidly. It's hastily approaching. It's coming. He said, even the voice of the day of Yahweh. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh. He said, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly, for it's a great, terrible day to those that transgress and the wicked. It is a bitter day. It is a terrifying day. A man that trusts in Yahweh in that great day, he shall be his strength. When that massive storm came through Florida, Charlie, recently, there were those that were saved there, and yet the storm did not spare that path that Yahweh sent that storm, it ripped every house, whether they were poor or rich, whether they were black, Hispanic, or Caucasian, it had no regard. It did not differentiate between ethnicity, race, social, class, and all. It was a treasure of Yahweh. It obeyed the voice of Yahweh. And the heart of man wept bitterly. They went back to find all of their goods, the demise of their wealth. Oh, gone. Nothing to hold on to. And that is why trouble shall come. You're not going to hold on to your mama, your daddy, your sons, your daughters, your heritage, your riches, your wealth. You're going to hold on to what thus saith the voice of Yahweh. That's all we're going to have, because that shall be our strength. It shall not be based upon things or rituals, traditions, or any such thing. It shall be based upon what Yahweh has spoken and what the Son has assured us in, that he gave his life.
and we base it upon anything else, it is false. It has no measure of power at all. And so Yahweh gives us a living word that is full of life, and we can base everything upon what He says, and not upon what we feel, or what we think, what we like, or what we dislike. It's what He says. It's based upon His principles and His laws, His commandments, and nothing else. So the great day is near. As the storm began to approach, people began to prepare. The hearts began to become a little more frightened. They began to worry about their things. They began to pray about their things. That's what they prayed about. That is what they were worried about. They were concerned about their cars and their boats, their televisions and their material things. But they weren't concerned about their souls. You see, we're going to be concerned, those that trust them will be concerned about their souls. For we know that these natural things are temporal. They're all going to be dissolved. And so as the storm approached, it was at one time 750 miles at sea. Only moving 15 miles an hour. Oh, that gives us time. We think it does, doesn't it? And yet the storm was approaching greatly. 15 miles an hour? That's not much. 10 hours only goes 150 miles. See, that's how the natural current of mind thinks. And yet all of a sudden it began to haste upon them quickly. And when it came upon them, it was a great storm. And that's what this time shall be like. Even greater than that. The mighty man shall fail. They shall tremble. Why? Because their sins shall all come before their eyes. And there will be no way that they can get out of the debacle and that great bondage of sin. They will try to climb out, but they can't. Because the sin shall hold them in snares and chains. And that's why Yahweh warns you. Those things that cause you to fall constantly back into sin, when you regress, when you go back against the laws of Yahweh, when your mind is turned back to natural things, and your mind is given over into carnal things, you are absorbed by that, and you spend many hours on those natural things. He's warning you. He's showing you what you trust in. You don't trust in Him. Because if you did, you will rejoice. You will sing for praises to His name. You'll be glad. You would acknowledge Him. You would pray to Him constantly. He will be the foremost thing on your mind. And nothing else will matter. The day, He tells us, it is a day of wrath. It's a day of the great anger of Yahweh. Can you understand even your anger in its fullness? And we all have exemplified that. And you think of some of the things you were willing to do in the midst of your anger. Horrific things. Whereby you had no control or nothing. That this is the wrath of Yahweh. That this is not an unjust wrath. Do you hear me? This is a just wrath. My wrath has been poured out because it has been unjust. And unjustly merited. But this is a just wrath. It is a just recompense. Do you hear that? It is a just wrath that has been suffering long. It is such a just wrath that is, it has endured much of the sinfulness of man. The wrath is so just that it has sustained the scars and the stains of the sin of man. So it's a just wrath. And it is the anger of Yahweh in His fullness. It is the anger of Yahweh in His fullness. Now I've seen my anger in its fullness, and it will do some foolish, crazy, uncontrollable things. And any of you all that have exemplified that, and you all have, you know what your anger will do. It has no regard, your mind. You lose your mind, you lose control of everything. And He's going to lose control. And yet He's going to be in control. He said that is the character. That day is the day of wrath. He says the day of trouble and now distress. Not just trouble whereby the minds are perplexed. The man is so distressed and so torn he doesn't know which way to turn. The hope of the saints of Yahweh is that they trust in Yahweh. They trust Him in the midst of that wrath, in the midst of that storm, that He is going to watch over them. And Scripture must give us comfort and confidence that He's going to do that. And in the midst of that, He is going to watch over only the house, as He did in Egypt, when the death angel passed. as he did with the firstborn of the Egyptians, and the Israelites survived. As he did when darkness prevailed in Egypt, and there were only anointing in the homes of the Israelites. This day shall be one of great darkness, and there shall only be light in the virgins, in the heifers. You see, that's what a heifer is. A heifer is just a cow that has never been bred by a bull. When it's been bred by a bull, then it becomes a cow. When it's not bred by a bull, it's a heifer. That's what a heifer is. A bull has never bred the cow. When it's bred by a bull, then it's a cow. And only those that have their lamps trimmed, burning bright. And let me tell you, my friend, those that inquire, give me some of that what you have, that I may go by. You will say to them, no. You will say to son, husband, wife, daughter, it makes no difference at all. I have just enough. And that's all you're going to have, just enough. There's not going to be anything to spare. You're going to have just enough. You're going to have just enough light in you to make you through the end of that tunnel. And at the end of that tunnel, we're looking for the brightness of the coming of Messiah. We're looking for the great hope. And you're going to have just enough. You're not going to have anything to give son. You're not going to have anything to give mama. You're not going to have anything to give husband or wife. You're going to have just enough. That is why he warned you to save yourselves. For you to take hold onto these laws and do righteously despite the circumstances and situations, you'll do right. You're not going to have enough for anyone. You don't have enough for anyone today. So there is a great troubles and distress. How are you going to have something? You have just enough to barely make it through the day for yourself. You have just enough integrity, enough strength to barely make it. That's why we count the long suffering of Yahweh. We count his suffering with us longer. We count it as salvation. We bless him for that too. And we rejoice because in that we are saved. He says it's going to be a day of wasteness and desolation. When something is desolate, there is no light or any hope in it at all. Zephaniah 1:15. It's just a day of desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess. Now, I can sense a day of darkness, but when things are gloomy, there is no inspiration at all. It does something to captivate your body. It captivates your mind. The air feels different. It feels heavy. You sense a great heaviness upon you. Then it's a day of darkness. Can you imagine a day that is dark? Whereby there is no visible light of the truth of Yahweh shining forth. Have you experienced that? You have sinned egregiously against the Father, and you find darkness all in your mind. And everything around you is gloomy. Everything is desolate. It's a day of great darkness and a gloomy day. It's going to be a day whereby you're going to sense the presence of every kind of evil work there is. And the mind will submit to those spirits to obey them. Whereby you will blaspheme the name of Yahweh and curse the very one that made you. And you will curse him and say, if you are the God, come down and let me judge you. That's the heart of man. That's how he talks. That is how he responds to Yahweh. Because he has no regard. He has no honor, no respect. That's why he has to tell us to honor men. Because it's not in the heart of man to honor men. It's not in the heart to love men. Men don't know how to love. He has to be taught to love. Women don't know how to love. They must be taught to love. You think those little children left alone, they will learn what love is? They must be taught to do those things. They must understand the principles of love. And touch and feel. They just don't grab hold to those things. Their minds are embellished with folly. So they must be taught. Fathers must teach them how to love. Mothers must instill in them the emotion of love and the beauty of love. Whereby they fail that on every behalf. It's a day of gloominess. It's going to be a day of cloud and thick darkness. Yishmael had a cloud by night, cloud by the day, and a pillar of fire by the day. He said, no, there's going to be a cloud there, but it's going to be thick darkness. You've seen that in the natural when the thick, dark clouds began to roll in. You know what that is. You know it's a great, tremendous storm that is headed your way. It brings about a quietness, doesn't it? You began to think, is everything in order? You're not prepared for this right. Now the reason we can't see the cloud in the darkness today because the minds are dark. The reason we don't sense the gloominess of this world, I sense it everywhere I go. I don't care where I go. I sense the darkness of the minds of men. I sense the gloomy spirits in men today. I sense the desolation. There's nothing there. They're just totally empty. When one is desolate, they are empty. They're empty of the truth of Yahweh. They're empty of the laws of Yahweh. You can see it in the expression. There's no life at all there. That is what desolation is. It's just an emptiness there. No form of life. You will know you have the form of life in you when there are fruit. When there is fruit in your life. The love, the joy, the kindness, the meekness, the long-suffering, the mercies of Yahweh. You will know you have life when fruit began to come forth. When there is a power of His fruit. Forbearing and long-suffering, enduring. You will know you have some form of life in you. When you don't have that, you have nothing at all in you. You're full of carnal, fleshly actions. That's all it is. You can rejoice in that all you want to, but it won't reveal anything. It won't give you anything at all. He says, the day of trumpet, the day of a great sound, and the alarm against the fenced city, and against the high tower. Those that enclose themselves into their own little private worlds. In their own secure place. Nobody tells me I'm going to do it this way. I feel this way, then that's how I'm going to do it. Well, I say often, truly, brothers and sisters, I never feel like preaching. And that is the honest truth. I never feel like preaching. And today I did not feel like preaching. There was no appetite in me at all to do it. I don't do this by constraint or for filthy lucre. I do it willingly. So I open myself unto the charge of Yahweh, and whatever thus saith Yahweh, let it be spoken. And so those are their little fenced cities, their little places whereby they're fencing themselves in. And they don't even allow judgment to enter in. They don't allow the truth of Yahweh to enter in. They allow no kind of correction. They don't allow anyone to speak to them. They don't allow anyone to show them their little fenced, corrupt minds. And I say to you, young ones, you all are good at that. You're young, you're immature spiritually. And the reason you're immature because you haven't trusted in what you believed. When you trust in what you believe, there's an assurance there. There's confidence there. You can lay hold to those things. That's just like taking a child. That the child knows the father is going to bring about some form of security. If daddy say jump, the child will jump. And the more they jump, the more secure they are. So that's why Messiah say, follow me. Just come follow me. Lay down everything and follow me. Why? Because I'm led by the father. And that's where our confidence and our security is, not because we fit our little selves in our little fleshly, carnal, little entourage, our little circle. It's going to come down. And what you do, you alarm one another. Make sure that you give off the sound or the certain sound that must be said or the words that must be said to inform each other. It's all coming down. He's coming against it. Because your high towers. Your place whereby you find your secret laws and they give you some sense of highness or strength. And you think your worth is better. You're a fool. You're nothing but a carnal piece of flesh. Fat flesh, skinny flesh, dirty black flesh, dirty white flesh. That's all it is. There's no value in your flesh. Nothing but worms. Nothing but the skin worms. Nothing at all. It's worth nothing. Your flesh is as a piece of grass. All flesh is the same. So your flesh means nothing. He's going to tear down your high tower too. You resort to that to think you're someone, you're nothing. And your looks are nothing either. Your physical body shape, you don't have nothing. You ought to be ashamed of it. Just cover it. You sisters and brothers, you have nothing that is that glamorous. Nothing. Now you may deceive yourself and think so. You're a fat out fool. And I'll tell you that. You look like a dumpy, lumpy thing in your nakedness. That's why most folks are really actually ashamed of their nakedness in some way. Sure, that's what you look like. Now, I said that, and I don't take it back either. He said, now this is what he always says in verse 17, and I will now, he said, I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. Why? Because they have sinned against Yahweh. That's the reason, brothers and sisters. You're not going to sin against Yahweh and not be brought unto this darkness. You're going to walk like a blind man because man has sinned against him. How? They've gone against his laws. They've established their own laws, saints. You go to two different individuals, they all have different opinions about different things. There should be one law of righteousness. Are we clones? Yeah, he has cloned us after him. And you want to find some perfect cloning, yeah? Yahweh knows how to clone. And he has cloned us after him. And he wants us to be clones after him. He tells us to be unholy or be what? Holy. Why? Why should we be holy? Why? Because he is holy. He didn't tell us to be unholy. He told us to be holy. For I am holy. Now what is that? That's a clone. He's telling you exactly what to do, how to do it. And you start by following peace with all men. That's how you start. You start to walk in the strength of his purity and his holiness. And start to walk in peace with all men. The holiness without, no man will ever see him. So he has cloned us in his image. I don't mind being cloned into his image. I want to be cloned into my father's image. What father, what true father doesn't want his son to be cloned into his image? Tell me. If he doesn't, he's not even a father. I said loud and again, if he doesn't, he is not even a father. Every father wants his son cloned into his image. Even the worldly fathers want that. Whiskey drinkers and hell raisers and drug dealers, they will clone their sons with the same kind of mentality. Now what true father does not desire his son to be like him? He's not even a father. Even the beasts of the field. When that bull finished with that little heifer, that cow will bring forth a calf. And it will have all the features of the bull. The bull's feature will play dominant over that heifer or the cow. Sure it will. And you will see it. You will see it in the old expression of the face and all of that. Sure you will. So he wants us to be clone like him. Was not the son, did he not come in the express image of who? Of the father. He was a clone of the father. So what do you think we should be? We should be the same way. We should walk in the express image of the begotten of Yahweh. He did not call us to walk in our own image. Not to walk in a black image or white image or Mexican image or Lutheran image. He called us to walk like his son. And anyone that walks different is a fool. To who he is. Who she is. He's going to bring distress upon men and they shall walk like blind men. Why? Because they have sinned against Yahweh. He said, and their blood should be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Sin is a horrible thing. It all began in the incubation of your wicked mind. You began to turn your thoughts away from the laws of Yahweh. You began to be steered by wickedness, wicked intent, wicked desire. He said, the flesh is going to be like dung. And that's what old flesh is like too. When it rots, it smells worse than dung. It's going to be like dung. The flesh shall be like dung. Why? Why is this coming to pass? Because man has sinned against the Father. He will not obey him. And we're not going to escape this. Our only strength is that we trust in what he tells us to do. And because we trust in that, we obey him. That's why we do it. And when you don't obey him and do what he says there, then you are sinning against him. That day is coming because of the sin of man. Because man has rejected the principles of Yahweh. Well, I don't think that means my mama. It means your mama, the wicked Jezebel. I don't think that means my sister. That means that harlot. Can't be my brother. It means that cowardly thing. It means you as well. You sin against the Father. He has paid the ultimate price. And this crazy, wicked generation thinks that I can get around that. You are a fell-out fool. You're not going to get around it. There's no other price. The Malachs of heaven couldn't do it. The host of man couldn't do it. He took that begotten of the Father. He paid the price in full. And if he paid the price in full to redeem us, then there's a penalty to pay in full if you don't honor that price that was paid. The flesh is going to be as dung. You're going to cry out and there should be no deliverance because they'll sin against Yahweh. He said, I want to tell you something in verse 18. He says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in Yahweh's wrath. Now, isn't that the thing that preoccupies the mind of man today? Their worth is based upon silver or gold. I want this. I want that. He said, won't be able to deliver you. So he's showing you it has no value. He's trying to show you that it has no importance, saints. He's showing us that your gold and your silver will not deliver you. Revelation said they're going to cast their gold and their silver into the streets because it will have no value. When they lose their anointing in this nation, and that is that crew that flows from the Middle East, you're going to see a gloomy nation. And darkness is going to befall this nation. That's this nation anointing. You get anointed when you get on the set of wheels and you smell that high test. So you all can be dead sick. You get in a vehicle to satisfy your lust. It brings about an anointing. Makes you healthy, right? You're ready to ride, ready to spin. That's what you're ready for. I don't care if you don't appreciate me. I don't care if you don't even like me. And that's the truth. I will not hold back Yahweh's truth. We're sinning against the Father. There's a great trial that shall afflict the house. And they're going to be tried. What? What you truly trust in. That is going to be tried. And these fools that think that we're going to be raptured out, they are fools. You trust him, it's going to, you're going to be tried by that. We have seen a metaphor that here with brothers dying. And then they trust that there is a resurrection and there's a hope even in death. And they were not willing to allow anything to prevent them from meeting their Creator. They went in ignorance, they went in unlearned aspects, but yet there was a burning trust in their hearts and a knowledge that this is real. I don't understand everything, Father. I don't understand why I must go at this age, but I do trust you. I don't understand the brightness of you. I see things, and I'm not clear on that. I'm looking through a glass, seems as though that has been smudged by flesh. But I trust you. And I see something beyond the sea line of Jordan that is much greater than what's on this side. And so they went over by faith. Why? Because without faith, no man can please the Father. Man has faith and trusts the Father. He trusts him because he believes him. Even though he may not understand perfectly. Even though he may not know. But yet he trusts him. Yet he trusts in that one word, that hope of that one word that has filled his soul. And he truly and literally believes that. He's willing to lay down his life for it. He lays down his life waiting for the manifestation of that mighty promise and the hope that Messiah gave unto us. And he waits on that diligently and will not allow anything to prevent him from gaining that great pearl. He's laid down everything. That's what these brothers done. They found a field of great riches. And they sold out everything. They sold out flesh, desires, and said, I see something that's far greater with great riches. And I want that. And so I'm selling this life to gain that. There are riches that are much greater here, there, than it is here. There's nothing here. The lust of the flesh, lust of your eyes, and the pride of life. It's full of pride. Your eyes get lustful. They can never be satisfied. That's why this generation can never be satisfied. That's why Yahweh must. He must bring darkness and gloominess upon it. You can't see. So your material things will make no difference at all. No whatsoever. You can't even be a disciplined one of Messiah unless you take all you have and sell. Then you lay down your life. And then you pick up the responsibilities that He command you. And you come follow the truth that Yahshua established. And that is the word of Yahweh. That's the only way. You're not going into the power of His kingdom. Walking in some religious mind or some self-righteous way. Everything His word does is instruct us. He's a great instructor. He instructs us in everything. How to eat, how to live, how to love, how to be kind, how to be affectionate, how to be a husband, how to be a wife. You want to know how to find that? Go to the great counselor. Just go to this book of counseling. That's all you need to do. We go to every kind of gossip lie house and every kind of gossip store we buy, every kind of flattery word, every kind of lie, and yet we will not buy the truth. Even when you buy it to sell it, that's no value. You buy the truth and you sell it not. You hold fast to the truth. Why? Because truth will deal with one identity. It will deal with the thing in your heart. You know you're not walking in truth when you're dealing with someone else's heart. That's what it will do. It will show you your corruption. Your filthiness. He said their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of your way. He said, but some of the land shall be devoured. He said what? He said the whole. And that does not exclude America, Russia, or Germany, or Africa. He said the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His tremendous jealousy because you have turned away from Him. I made you. I was a spouse to you. I gave my son. You reject that. For He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Well, we're here, Pastor. Sure. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. We don't walk as this world walks. You shouldn't live as the world lives. We're in the world, but we're not of the same appetite. We shouldn't have the same characteristic and the same character and the same desires as the world. He's going to destroy them that dwell upon the earth. Those that have their desire and their heart shaped by the things of the world. He's going to destroy every last one of them. He's going to destroy all the transgressors together. He's going to bring all the polluted ones together. And He's going to destroy every last one of them. And the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. There shall be no remembrance of His name. There shall be no heritage at all for Him. He means what He says. And He's not taking one word back. By His immutability He cannot lie. He's immune from lies. And everything He says is the truth. Everything He says is the truth. You may lie, we may lie, but Yahweh cannot lie. And He won't go back on His word. He will not. Now we go back, but He won't go back. We speak lies, but He will not speak a lie. And that is the truth. The question was asked by Nahum. I want to read that verse. Nahum chapter 1. I want to ask you this today, saints. That's why you better begin to trust in Him. We've trusted in uncertain riches, the arm of the flesh. Any man that trusts in the arm of the flesh, he's cursed. And Scripture says in Nahum chapter 1, verse 6. Now you ask yourself this, Nahum chapter 1, verse 6. Who can stand before Yahweh's indignation? Who's going to stand before His anger? You know, there are those fools down there in Florida. They mock Yahweh. And they sat around in their bars and they drank. They had their Charlie parties. And they mocked Yahweh. And they think because He didn't destroy them Then they had some great strength of power. Not realizing that he reigns on the just as well as he does the unjust. That water came through there, everybody got a taste of it. And so man mocks Yahweh. And yet he said, who can stand in Yahweh's indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? He said his fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Now that's the fury of Yahweh. When his fury comes upon man, it's like a burning fire. And it's one thing that a man, if he gets caught on fire, I know the best thing to do is to lay there and roll. But he's going to run. He is going to run. And the more he runs, the more the fire consumes him. And when his fire began to be poured out on this earth, they're going to run. To and fro, they're going to run and look for cover. And the more they run, the fire is going to consume them. Because of his anger. Why? Because of sin, we transgress. We can't disobey the Father, saints. You must do what he says. He gives us an order in his house. And yes, he gives rulers, saints. Men that instruct us and teach us. He gives mothers, daughters to instruct you. To show you what's right. How to dress, how to walk, how to talk. He gives elderly men, young men, to show you how to be a man. How to walk. The elderly man has experience. I'm not talking about no buffoon. He gives men. He gives elders. And they have character and strength. They're not like boys. They're men. They have the anointing of Yahweh, and he is their head. They are sure of that because Messiah is the strength of their loins. And so he gives an order to teach us of the principles of his laws. This wicked generation today, they don't regard that. It's one of the signs of this wicked generation. Disobedient to parents. They talk with their mouths instead of their spirit. Man that has that anointing, a sister, she will know how to talk. Oh yes, I do reprove and will not stop reproving. And rebuke too. And I'm going to do it all long suffering. I will suffer. I will suffer your lashing out and your anger. I will do it all long suffering and doctrine. I will do that until he removes me to my place in the kingdom. I will never stop it. Never. Not because we're children. Child. Scripture talks much about that. My little children. I intend to preach on that one day. And show you the characteristics of the people of Yahweh. He said no one can stand in that day. Verse 7 is our hope, saints. He said, I want to tell you something. Yahweh is good. What he's saying is Yahweh is just here. He's saying Yahweh is just. He's righteous. And he is a strong what? Hold to his hands. Yeah, we need to hold on to Yahweh's unchanging hands. He said he is a strong hold. We need to lay hold onto this eternal salvation. He is a strong hold in the day of trouble. To who? To us that hold on to his truth. Hold on to his righteousness. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he what? And he what? He know who? That what? He know them that trust in him. He know those that trust in him. They hold fast to the truth. They hold fast to the laws. He is a stronghold in that day of trouble. That's the wrath of Yahweh. Now if this day is just for the wicked, then why are those that trust him are in this day, are included in this day? He tells them to Yahweh is good, and he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And so he says to us that he knoweth them that trust in him because they hold fast to his laws and his principles, his statutes, his ordinance. That's our stronghold. That's what's going to give us strength, because we're going to hold fast to the laws. The truths of Yahweh, keeping his Shabbat, his feast days. We're going to do those days, dressing righteously and holy and pure with the righteous intent at the mind of Messiah. Not a mind of this world, not loving this world and the things of this world. If any man love the world and things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. We know what's all in the world. If you say you love this world and you love Yahweh, you are a flat out liar. You can't love this world and the things of this world and the love of the Father in you. Why? Because they're only the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and these things are not of Yahweh. You can't say you love him. Anytime your aspiration, you are inspired by those things in the world, then you're not being inspired by the word of Yahweh. You don't have a stronghold unto him. And he knows those that trust him, because they're going to hold fast. They're going to hold fast. They're going to hold to his unchanging hand, because he knows he never changed. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And we sons of Yaakov, that's why we're not consumed. He doesn't change. He is the same. So that's why he doesn't consume us, even in our wickedness, in our sins. He wants us to lay hold onto him. Grab hold onto him. Just like that widow. When she touched the garment of Messiah's garment, she was made partially whole. She was made whole. She was healed. And that's our healing power, that we hold fast unto the word of Yahweh. We can't hold fast to fables and lies and flatteries. We must hold fast to the word. We better pray above all things to Yahweh. Send us one that will preach the truth. Because that's the only thing that's going to make us free, brothers and sisters. It's not the riches, the goods of this land. Folks have that in their bow. They're lost. And the great bondage and the great miseries. They are. And the great miseries. They're concerned about their liqueurs and their trinkets. The less you have, the better you are. All you need is food and raiment. He give you food and raiment. Give you a place where you can bathe your body. You're blessed. You're blessed whether you believe that or not. You're blessed. When you get the right spirit of Yahweh in you, what the Messiah have? Did he own a city? Did he own a mansion? Did he own clothing? What he had on his back, that's what he wore. When it came time for a change, Yahweh gave him change of raiment. I don't believe he lugged the suitcase around. I don't believe the apostles lugged the suitcase around. He told them, don't even take cloak or whatever. Don't stripes, cloak or nothing. Then if he took something, he was a liar. He didn't take it. Go forth from the world like sheep amongst wolves. Even if you got one from man, wants it, give it to him. Your Father will give you one. So he didn't take it. We that trust in Yahweh, he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Only those that trust in Yahweh, he knows them. He is going to destroy all the transgressors together, and the wicked he's going to cut off. He is going to cut off, brothers and sisters. Every man whose heart is wicked, he's going to cut off. Every one of them. Psalms 34, verse 16 and 17. There's a great strength unto the people of Yahweh. He's only speaking to his house. You that are drunk in your flesh. It is a sad thing that we come into the house of Yahweh on the Shabbat. You have plenty of time to rush on the eve. You should not come in here sluggish and drunken. Some of y'all will sleep to 10 o'clock. You ought to come in here sharp and awake. What you need to do is get up and come to prayer on Sabbath morning. Revive your soul. That's how you love to sleep. That's why you have poverty. No strength out of your soul. Get up. You awaken, ye drunkards. Awaken out of your sleep. You can sit around in trivial folly. Play some silly game all night. I intend to bust that head, every last one of us. He wants that mind of Messiah. That's the only way he's going to get it in there. Crack this thing of ours. You need that. We're not going in the way we walk. But a man truly has that sincere praise in his heart, he will honor the Father. May Yahweh bless you. Let us stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you all. Father, bless all. I pray Messiah's name. Give us strength.